The host of Locked On Packers, you can find his work all over the place as well. Peter Bukowski joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Peter, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Hi, Peter.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Real good. Enjoy your podcast, as always. And, you know, I just, I was telling Bart earlier, I think this move kind of surprised me a little bit that it was made. And, you know, he kind of dodged a few questions up there, Murphy did. But do you think this move is made at all if Crosby hits that field goal and they get by the skin of their teeth 20-17 or 23-20 actually in overtime?
Well, I think Mark Murphy said, you know, whether you believe him or not yesterday, that, you know, that's going to be up to you. But he basically said, look, we haven't made this decision yet. And that may be true, I guess. But I think what you have to believe is this one game didn't get Mike McCarthy fired. It was clearly something that was on the minds of the front office, whether that be Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst or both. This is not a decision you make 2 hours after you lose a football game. This is a decision that you are on your way to making long before you get to the point where you actually say it. It's like a breakup, and I like that metaphor because James Jones on NFL Network yesterday compared the Mike McCarthy Aaron Rodgers relationship to a marriage. But by the time the person doing the breaking up says, "I think we should break up," they had broken up with you weeks ago in their mind. And we're building up, especially in a serious relationship, they were building up to this moment. And there was maybe some inciting incident. And I do think that there was this touchstone moment losing to the Cardinals. But if they beat the Cardinals and then lose at home to the Falcons, that could have been enough if it had been an embarrassing way. I don't think they wanted to do this to Mike McCarthy. But I do think they felt like it was time for a new voice. And you heard Mark Murphy say that a number of times. I just think this was an inflection point for Murphy to say, look, we can't have this be acceptable anymore. We were going to make this move anyway. Let's just make it now.
Where do you feel with, or how do you feel with Mark Murphy and the role he wants to have in the hiring process of a new head coach? I still feel maybe, and Peter, I could just be naive. I think that Brian Gutekunst is going to do most of the work. Mark Murphy wants to know how it's going because of how the team started to fall off the rails when he didn't know how things were going. So I want to see it play out, but a lot of people don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that I keep going back to. I understand that this is fans have this idea of what's going on in the front office, and there was the report from Charles Robinson that I know you guys talked about yesterday, that there are coaches already in the league thinking about the next coach of Green Bay and being with Josh McDaniels in Green Bay, if that's a thing that's going to happen. And in that report was also a note that there had been some people close to Josh McDaniels that had said, be wary of the kind of front office structure that the Packers have. My viewpoint on this siloing of responsibilities in the Packers organization has always been that I think that came from Mark Murphy to try and right a sinking, maybe sinking is maybe not the wrong word, but he had tried to get the ship back on course. And so he said, we need to have a steady hand here because Mike McCarthy thinks it should be him. Ted Thompson thinks it should be him. So why don't I maybe facilitate these conversations a little bit more? I don't view Mark Murphy, until proven otherwise, that he is some sort of power-hungry figure in this organization. I think he may be tinkering, and I think he may be, it's possible he could be doing a little bit of micromanaging. But I think those are forgivable sins in the broad view of, I think what he's trying to do is make this team better. I think he's trying to bring in the best possible coach. And I think you're right. I think Brian Gutekunst is going to do, you know, the heavy lifting on the football side, and Mark Murphy is going to do it on the culture side, on the operations side, and that's his responsibility. And ultimately, he makes the decision. And that doesn't strike me as being any different than any of the other 31 teams in the league.
The Murphy must have seen this happen somewhere in the business world. It must happen more so in the business world. I haven't seen it happen personally, but where a guy who's the president of the organization becomes more hands-on because he feels like he has to be more hands-on to get things right.
Yeah, that is, I think, what we're talking about here. And you know, you can go around the league and look at there are different kinds of structures when it comes to coach and GM. I mean, Pete Carroll has final say on the roster. That doesn't mean John Schneider isn't empowered as a general manager. And he clearly is, and he's done a great job building that team and then rebuilding that team in Seattle. So I think that the concerns have always been overblown. I mean, I think we can think of plenty of situations. I mean, I can certainly think of the media world where you have someone who is, you know, maybe a half step below someone on the org chart and quasi reports to them, but they both report into a big boss. So it doesn't strike me as that different. It's just a little atypical for what goes on in, you know, in the normal Packers organization. I think that's why it has some fans worried about, you know, Machiavellian takeovers. I think until there's evidence that that's going on, my view of Mark Murphy has always been that he is smart, that he is capable. He's been around football teams. I mean, this is a guy that was in the Washington organization with Joe Gibbs, has been a part of this organization, understands, you know, the Ron Wolf way, the Ted Thompson way, and that way has worked for a long time. I think his insistence on being a little bit more part of the process is just to sort of be a guiding hand organizationally to make sure all of the pieces are working in conjunction with one another.
Peter, I spent a lot of time on the show yesterday very upset about the play of Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. I thought that he threw a lot of balls into the dirt. I don't like his decision-making as of late. I'm not sure what I'm seeing when I'm watching him. Why has Aaron Rodgers not looked like the Aaron Rodgers that we all picture him to be?
Well, I think there are a confluence of factors that have all sort of conspired against this offense. I think it is true that the schematic elements of this team are better than they have been the last few years. I think it is true that the depth at the skill positions is better than it has been the last few years. But at the same time, I think the injury early on robbed him of his greatest attribute, and that's his ability to extend plays. And this offense, even with those schematic changes where you're talking about on a play-to-play basis, there's more creativity and more opportunities to scheme guys free. They're still not doing it enough, but it also still requires, because so much of this offense is, I think, easily diagnosable, Green Bay is still relying on receivers one-on-one to make plays and get open. And when you have Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Jermichael Finley, that offense works really well. And when you don't, when you have rookies who don't quite run the three-step out the way Aaron Rodgers wants, or doesn't trust to get open over the middle of the field. I mean, this is the least aggressive team in football attacking the middle of the field. And I really think it has a large part to do with playing so many new players. This offense, you know, I had an NFL person describe it to me as a ballet. And when you don't, you know, the great part of a ballet, right, is the cohesion of it. And everything is working in sync and in rhythm. And when you have players that you're not used to, you lose that rhythm. And even with Devontae Adams, we've seen at times, you know, they seem to be the only ones on the same page. But you go back to week one, that Bears comeback, who were the guys he was throwing to? Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams. He wasn't having to make these plays down the field to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to Equanimeous St. Brown. They could use Jimmy Graham here and there where he's effective. I think that's a big reason here. But also, I think the team clearly lost confidence in Mike McCarthy's ability to call plays. They lost confidence in the plan. And when that happens, it's hard to play quarterback enough. But when you aren't confident in the play design and you aren't confident in the players around you, it becomes even harder. And I think that is one of the reasons you see his body language hasn't been great. And I think you've seen off-target throws because he's just not playing with any confidence. And I think finally it's beaten him down a little bit. You go back to some of the comments he's made post-game the last few weeks. He sounds like a guy in his own way searching for answers a little bit.
I wonder if we're going to see a little different, not different scheme, but a little different way of going about the offense on Sunday with Philbin calling plays for a first time. You know, him and McCarthy, you know, like to think they're joined at the hip, but, you know, everybody's got their different way of doing things, and see if there's a little bit different way that Philbin approaches things on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he hasn't called plays for a team in a game, mm-hmm. but he used to call plays in practice. That was another thing I learned in that James Jones discussion on NFL Network yesterday. I had never heard that. But it turns out that what Jones said was Philbin was always the guy who was deciding what the offense was going to run in practice. And when there were issues or questions or, ideas, Joe was always the first person that the players would go to. He was incredibly respected in the locker room by the players. The players loved him. I wonder, Aaron Rodgers talked about a galvanizing moment. Well, the playoffs is gone, pretty much. But this could be a moment where the offensive players say, we have more faith in Joe Philbin calling these plays, designing these offense, making these decisions than Mike McCarthy. And maybe the only person who needs to have that faith is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think he is obviously the straw that stirs the drink with this team. If he's the guy saying, all right, this is going to work, let's go, that I think can trickle down in some ways. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know what he's going to look like as a play caller. He doesn't know because he's never done it. So I think this is a good opportunity to experiment for them. He said, we're not going to bring in new schemes, but maybe they're going to call plays a little bit differently, call different kinds of plays, because the offense is the offense at this point. I mean, that's not going to change. But the deployment of the offense can change. The personnel can change. Maybe we can finally mercifully stop this carousel of running backs that doesn't make sense. Aaron Jones establishes himself as the guy and then has a couple carries where he gets 2 yards instead of six, and suddenly Jamal Williams needs to be in the game for reasons that are clear only to Mike McCarthy. So those kinds of things on the margins could be different. But I don't think we should expect, some brand new offense. I don't think anyone should expect the last four games should look like 2011.
Peter Bukowski, appreciate some time from you. Good insight as always. And we will be sure to check in down the road, my man.
Well, I'm disappointed. Why? Because I thought you guys were going to go at it a little bit.
No, I think that Peter, I think Peter's more fond of Rodgers than I am.
Okay.
Right now.
I was just ready to step out and let you guys go at it from what you're telling me.
Everything Peter says right about the talent around Rodgers.
So you guys aren't
as
far apart.
I also think that Rodgers is sort of like, I don't know, what's a good word? Aloof? Lackadaisical? Indifferent?
I think that's right, though. I mean, I wouldn't go lackadaisical, but are you one of those people that thinks after the game he needs to just sort of like take it all on him and not say, oh, well, the team has to execute better, et cetera, et cetera? Are you one of those people that's like, I think he should take it all on him?
No, I'll tell you.
What did he do to make you feel better?
Not throw balls in the dirt. Play better. Not throw it away all the time.
Win some more games.
Not throw a deep pass to Valdez Scantling when they just need a 10-yard out to make the field goal harder for Crosby. I don't know. I just think that Rodgers should be embarrassed that he played the way he did on Sunday. I think he should be embarrassed that that's on tape. Sunday was so bad. And I think he helped get his... I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he sabotaged Mike McCarthy on purpose, but it's clear they quit on him. And for Rodgers to talk about how sad he is yesterday, I don't know if I buy that. That's what I'm
saying. I think they can both be true. I think you can be ready for your coach to move on and still be sad that it didn't work out. I mean, it's like anything. I used the breakup analogy earlier.
That's good, McCarthy.
I took notes of that one right there when you said, hey, a girl's thinking about breaking up with you 3 weeks beforehand.
I wrote that one down. But I think it's the same thing. I think you can be sad. We've all, I'm sure, been in relationships that ended that you thought needed to end, but you were still sad they ended. And I'm sorry I said it's like anything talking about Mike McCarthy, but I did, and I don't regret it.
He said that more this year in the last, 2 weeks. It's like anything. Well, it's like anything. Peter, I do appreciate it. We will get in touch with you down the road.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, guys. Take care.